You to Brother Bacon and Brother Grissom. Thank you for the opportunity to fill this sacred desk. Amen. What a wonderful blessing it is. Hallelujah. Genesis 43 and verse number 1. It's 8:15. The lock-in starts at 11. Whoo! Hallelujah. They should have started at 9, shouldn't they? Praise the Lord. We'll get out of here before 11, I promise. 43 and 1, the Bible says, "And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food." Skip down to verse number 11. "And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, and a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Find Jacob, who was also Israel, dwelling in Canaan land in the midst of a famine. They've eaten all the corn they've already bought from Egypt the first time, and it's time for them to go back a second time. And he tells his sons, go again, but this time I want you to take balm, and I want you to take honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds, and even a little money. Hallelujah. And buy us corn that we may eat." Tonight, with the help and the grace of the Lord, we're going to minister under this title, Trading the Superficial for the Substantial. Trading the Superficial for the Substantial. Would you put your Bibles down and would you join with me in prayer for this service? Lord Jesus, we love you. We are ever so acutely aware your Spirit is here, O God. It bears witness with our own. And we know that you are here, O God, knowing that your word will not return void, that you have a plan of action. You have a course to take in this service. We ask that, Lord God, you would do that tonight, that we would be vessels of your glory, that you would move and minister, Lord God. Loose the gifts of the Spirit now. Loose their operation. Loose your Spirit, O God, and the gift of faith in this house, that your name will be glorified above everything else tonight. We pray this together now, in the name above every other name, in Jesus' name. Can we say that together? In Jesus' name, one more time. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated if you promise to preach with me. Otherwise, stay standing. Hallelujah. All right. 100%, we're going to have church tonight. Hallelujah. I do want to say just a moment that it is such an honor to be in Athens. This is the pulpit that I preached my very first sermon out of. And that is so dear and sweet to me. And just a little tidbit of information. Fun fact in your face there. I know you want to know that, but praise the Lord. I'm thankful for His goodness to me. But we find Jacob, who is Israel, and his sons in the land of Canaan. And they're in a famine. The Bible tells us, I'm going to pretty well ruin my whole message right now, but the Bible tells us that they didn't have corn, but what they did have was balm, and what they did have was honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. They had these little trappings, but they had no corn, you see. Joseph, Israel, whatever you want to call him at this point, that he had to come to the same understanding that you and I have to come to tonight. We really need to understand those things that we can live with and what we cannot live without. Genesis tells us that in this same scenario, in our same text, we have to determine like they did if we're going to live or if we're going to die because of what we do with the superficial things of this world or the substantial things of eternity. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Our text puts us in difficult days. There's a famine in the land. Jacob and his sons are enduring hard times. Hallelujah. The commentary tells us that the literal translation of this word, this verse tells us that the famine was heavy in the land. It was something that was on the forefront of everybody's mind in Canaan. There was no corn. There was no food of substantial nature to eat. Hallelujah. Jacob, he come to a point living in Canaan where the corn and the grain they had taken from Egypt in their first trip was gone. They had nothing else to eat, and they had to go back and seek more corn. The harvest of corn and grain, it had failed in the land of Canaan. Nothing was left, but hallelujah, Genesis 43 and 11 tells us they have those things, balm and honey. But it's obvious to them, and I believe it's obvious to you and I tonight, that Jacob and his family could not live on those things. But they desired and required even something of far more greater nutritional content. They could not live. They could not eat balm. They could not subsist on honey and almonds. You see, inadequate food means inadequate health. An absence of nutrients will lead to the presence of death. And nutrients are just as important to the mind as they are to the body. If you starve the body, death by starvation will soon come. Starve the mind, and the mind will wither in death also. And if this is true for our mortal body, how much more about our own soul tonight? Can the soul of a man be starved to death because of too much balm or too much honey or too much myrrh? You see, the soul has to be fed just as the body has to be fed. There's a death that can come to us from a spiritual famine. It's not necessarily because of spiritual food is not available, but it's merely because we have chosen to consume food with lesser value. Corn was in Egypt. There was substantial food available. They had to go get it. If they had dwelled in Canaan land and merely attempted to subsist on honey and nut and myrrh, they would soon have died. Just like you or I. Hallelujah. We must not attempt to survive on the superficial. Canaan. The famine in Canaan was terrible. They had no corn, they had no grain, but they had balm, honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. You see, it tells us that Scripture tells us that while corn and grain was not plenty in the land, these things were thriving. Myrrh was thriving in Canaan. Nuts was thriving in Canaan. Honey was thriving in Canaan. The famine of the land did not necessarily mean an absence of all things, but it merely tells us that there was an absence of the crucial things. There was an absence of the things that they required on a very base and natural level. And I'm fearful tonight that there are times in our walk with God that this very self-same thing can happen. We can have many things in our hand. We can have many things available to our heart, and they seem like they could sustain us, but they will never take us to the levels that God wants us to go. You see, a fast song will only take you so far. A superficial fellowship with the church will only take you so far. Living on your feelings will only take you so far. We have tonight to trade the superficial for the corn of the substantial. Hallelujah. And notice in Scripture that all these things that Jacob was more than willing to trade for corn. The balm was associated with Gilead. It was a substance that acted as an ancient sedative. It brought some relief to temporary relief to pain. But in a famine, balm won't do you very good. In a famine, you can't afford to be sedated. If you sleep through a famine, you'll soon die. But Jacob was willing. He understood. I can afford to take a little rest, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. If I were to subsist on the balm of Gilead, I and my family would soon die. They had honey. And you know what honey is. It's very syrupy. It's very sticky. It's very sweet. Hallelujah. But in a famine, if a relationship with God is merely based on the sentimental, if that relationship with Him is based on the emotional, or the warm, fuzzy feeling you get in an atmosphere as this, it'll not take you long for your faith to capsize, and spiritually you will die. It's time that someone quits dating God. You don't need to date the church, but God is looking for someone that'll willingly commit themselves. God doesn't need puppy love, but He needs an all-consuming love. He needs a committed love. He needs a love that'll take you to the end of the world with Him. Hallelujah. God needs that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They had spices. Spices, it was a perfume. It was used as a perfume. They either put it on the body or they placed it in the home. The whole use of this spice, the whole use of this perfume was to change the perception of something, whether it be the body or the room that they walked in. But in a famine, there's a much greater need for the church to work at changing the world instead of putting a little spice on the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To serve the spices meant that you have little regard for the burden bearing of intercession and evangelism. That would be too much work. You may smell great, but you will die from starvation. Hallelujah. Myrrh, it was associated with the same perfume-like qualities. It was important for the incense. Myrrh has a basic anesthetic property to it, and it would help stop the pain of flesh wounds. But the principle for you and I tonight is that in a famine there are things of far greater importance than simply curing the pain of a wound. There's something much greater going on here. There's a famine. There's no corn. There's no substantial food. And I don't need a little bit of relief from the pain of a wound. I need to get the substantial in my life. They had almonds. Almonds were a delicacy in that time. You see, there are some things that are extremely valuable to you and I. There are some things that could possibly do us great good if we weren't in a famine. But what good is something extremely valuable if it cannot be substantial in your nutrition? Mark says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" They may be valuable, but it does you no good in a famine. And all the things that Jacob sent to Egypt were simply seasonings. They were spices. They would garnish a meal, but they could not sustain him in his work. Jacob was telling them that it was time for them to empty their sack of the superficial and bring home the substantial. And how much more does that apply to you and I today? It's time that we empty ourselves of the superficial things of this world and we fill ourselves with the substantial things of God's kingdom. Come on, somebody. Why don't you empty yourself of Hollywood? Why don't you empty yourself of Justin Bieber? Why don't you empty yourself of those things that are superficial and do not benefit you, and fill yourself tonight with the substantial things that God has provided for you in this service? Hallelujah. More than any other time, I believe that we've ever seen, the church of the living God today requires the corn of sacrifice. We must have corn. The church has to have corn. The preacher has to have corn. I can't afford to live on the superficial spices of life. I'll die lest I need the corn of sacrifice. Jesus said in John 12, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You and I must determine tonight that we're going to make the great exchange a sacrifice. We have to be a sacrificing church. You see, church, we've been scammed by the devil because of our own pursuit of the superficial. The church is starving to death all the time eating the garnish and the season of the superficial. We've traded singing songs like "I Surrender All" and "Jesus Use Me" for songs that work to show you what God's done for you instead of what you can do for God. We're hearing sermons that work to bring our self-esteem to a higher level so we can feel better about our own self-worth. I'll tell you something tonight. The greatest self-worth that you will ever feel is when you invest yourself in the kingdom of God. What did Matthew say? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You want to feel good about yourself? Teach a Bible study. You want to feel good about yourself? Witness to your friends. You want to feel good about yourself? Die in the kingdom. Invest in the kingdom. Wrap yourself all up in the kingdom. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a little bit of praise tonight. In the rebosa, in the rebosa, in the kid rebosa. Hallelujah. We look to the book of Acts, church, and it is undeniable that this church was a church of sacrifice. They sold their possessions to further the kingdom. They stopped their life plans and became missionaries. They sacrificed their time to teach new converts. They sacrificed their schedule to give time to prayer. They became tent makers to help the church advance. They sacrificed their lives in every way, in every face of physical persecution. Hallelujah. They sacrificed their prejudice to reach out to the Gentiles. They sacrificed their associations from the past if it had a spiritual bearing on their future. They were a church of sacrifice. But let me tell you tonight, that kind of activity, to have the corn of sacrifice, it won't happen until you're willing to empty your sack of the spices of this world and fill them with the supernatural. Hallelujah. You'll not know the goodness, hallelujah, that sacrifice to the kingdom could ever bring if you're too busy filling your sack with the superficial things of this life that'll merely take you a little bit and they'll drop you, hallelujah, and they'll drop you and they'll leave you where you sit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But change like this cannot come from without, but it must come from within. It is a very personal thing. Hallelujah. And you can't do it by yourself, but Jesus tells us how that we could do that. He said, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And after you receive that power, what are you going to do? You're going to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let me tell you tonight, if you'll let your life fall to the ground and be sacrificed, much will come of it. If you allow your plans to be sacrificed for your life and allow God to rule you and let God lay out your plan for your life, you'll come out better in the end than you ever could if you got four PhDs. Hallelujah. You'll come out better. You'll come out richer. You'll come out more blessed. Why? Because you're not laying treasure up on this side, but you're laying treasure up on the other side where dust and rust and moth and thief cannot corrupt, but it's going to be waiting on you that when you get on the other side, you've invested your life. You've allowed yourself to fall to the ground and die for the kingdom. We cannot afford to live our lives for the supernatural, for the superficial, but we must live for the substantial. We cannot live for time. We must live for eternity. We cannot afford ourselves to be concerned with the seconds, minutes, hours, and days of this life, but we must ever be concerned that eternity is soon to enact and eternity never ends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't need only the corn of sacrifice, but we need the corn of prayer. You and I must be a praying church. We must be a praying church. I understand this is a youth rally. I hope this is okay. I understand you, this is a young group. Hallelujah. But if you've been baptized in His name, if you've been filled with that glorious Spirit of Almighty God, then you are the church. I'm not preaching to the young people of the church. I'm preaching to the church. And if there was ever a time, especially for the young church, to be a praying church, it is the day that we live in. Programs can slide. Lock-ins can go. Pizza parties can wait. Oh, but what must not leave us is an attitude of prayer. What must not leave us is prayer. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is a lifeline of power for the apostolic church today. Prayer may not always be easy. In fact, it's a great lifelong struggle. Hallelujah. It's not always easy to pray. I understand it's not always so good to fit into a daily schedule. But I'm telling you tonight, you'll be blessed because you took time to pray more than you'll be blessed for any extracurricular activity, more than you'll be blessed because your resume will look good on a college application. If you'll take a little time and allow yourself to fall to the ground and die for the kingdom, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no telling what can occur because you've allowed yourself to be given to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's great vitality in prayer. There's great in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need tonight the corn of biblical preaching. Preaching, you see, is not merely talking about God. But preaching is God Himself working through the message of the preacher to confront men and bring them to Himself. It is the act of God in His mercy and in His wisdom to reach a lost and dying world, that even through the foolishness of preaching, we are saved today. And it is through effective biblical preaching that will bring about change in people's lives. Let me tell you tonight, if you're sick and tired of the way you've been living, maybe you're not living the best way you really want to be. You're in the best place tonight under the sound of my voice and in the service of these people tonight, because preaching will bring about a change in your life. You can leave here different than the way you came, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Biblical preaching is not a pep rally. It is not what we do at a Christian happy hour every time we come together. Oh, you see, biblical preaching is what we must require today, because the Bible tells us that there's a day, and I believe it's now, that there are going to be those who heap to themselves teachers that have itching ears, teachers that will willingly tell you what you want to hear. Oh, but I'm telling you tonight that you're under the sound of this preacher and you're under the sound of your pastor that'll teach you the whole counsel of the Word of the Lord. And if there was ever a day that you should say, "Preach to me, preacher," if you should ever say, "Preach it harder, preach it stronger, preach it faster," it's today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The preacher is the herald of the Word of God. Anything less cannot be called preaching. Hallelujah. But the cry made in the pulpit across our fellowship and in the world today must be the cry of Scripture, not my opinion, not a current fad, but it must be the cry of Scripture as it would declare the whole counsel of the Word of the Lord. The Holy Ghost will use the message of the Word to change people's lives and their eternal destiny. He applies His Word to change our attitudes and our behaviors. Every Sunday morning across our nation, I believe that there are good people that go to churches who may not preach it correctly, but they're going there and they're wondering, is there a word from God today? Can I go to church today? And can I leave there knowing that I heard a word from the Lord? King Zedekiah cried to the prophet Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? And because Jeremiah had been praying, because he had been in communication with the God of eternity, he was able to reply, yes, King Zedekiah, there is a word from the Lord. Oh, man of God, tell us what God says. This is what we long to hear. This is what we need to hear. It's what we want to hear. We need today a corn of biblical preaching. I'm closing. Musicians come. And lastly tonight, but surely not leastly, we must have the corn of holiness today. We must have holiness and separation from the world. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If there was ever a day, if there was a greater need in this day and age, it is for the corn, for the substantialness of holiness. Because it says, unless we follow peace, holiness, and peace with all men, we're never going to see the Lord. We're never going to see Him unless we follow hard after holiness. And I'm not here to give you a laundry list of do's and don'ts, but I'm here to tell you and to preach a strong message of holiness for this age, for this generation, for this hour. The generation before us, they brought us this far. With the message we're still preaching today. And if it's brought us this far, it's going to take us on to the other side. It's not a day and an hour to be moving old landmarks. If you didn't put it there, you leave it alone. If you didn't establish it, then you just follow it and you abide by it. You see, did you know that Jesus is the church's beautician? He said that He'll beautify the meek with salvation. It tells us to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Chronicles tells us that the king appointed singers to go before and to worship the beauty of holiness. Chronicles is telling us that He is the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Our standards are wonderful. We need them. We live by them. We love them. You love them. Hallelujah. But in and of itself, it's not pretty. But it's when you couple that standard of living to protect that inward holiness, when He is on you and He will beautify that holiness. Hallelujah. He is the beauty of your holiness. And I believe it tonight. Modest is hottest, people. Holiness is attractive. You can't be too modest. It may not be popular in 2011, but let me tell you, Church of the Living God, shamefacedness and sobriety, modesty is still the thing to be. It's still the way to go. It's still what's going to take you on the other side. You don't need to wear it tighter. You don't need to wear it shorter, but you need to wear it more holy. You need to wear it more modestly. Hallelujah. Take yourself and empty yourself of the superficial. Fill yourself with a substantial. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Simply the question is tonight, posed to you, are you willing to trade the superficial for the substantial? Are you willing to lay aside those spices and that myrrh and those almonds that you've been trying to live on? And will you come and fill yourself with the corn of God, with the substantial, with those things that will feed you spiritually? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm done. Hallelujah. This is my altar call. It's not pretty, but it's what it is. Hallelujah. If you want something more, if you want to give to yourself out tonight, I invite you tonight. I believe, hey, we could have come and we could have blown the roof off the house, but God is calling you to a deeper consecration. God's calling you to leave this place changed. God's calling you to leave this place with more power than you had when you came in this house. Come on, let's pray. Let's cry out to God. Oh, God, I empty myself. God, I empty myself of those things that really don't matter. And God, fill me with the substantial of your kingdom. Fill me, oh God, with the nutritious things of your word. Fill me, oh God, with the substantial gift of the Spirit. Fill me, oh God, with a passion for more of you. Fill me, oh God, with a call of ministry. Oh, I empty myself out to you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on, church. Let's press in a little bit. Come on, there's a higher calling in this place tonight. There's a deeper walk that He wants for you. There's a closer walk He wants you to walk to Him.
And begin a brand new start. Help me find my direction.
Hallelujah.
Place a burden in my heart.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on, reach out to Him. Come on, reach out to Him. Cry out to Him. He just needs to hear your voice. He just needs to hear your commitment. He just needs to hear you commit to Him.
Take me back to that old landmark where I'll make a new commitment.
Oh, yes. Come on. Come on. Let's press in, church. Come on. That's not a release yet. Come on. God's doing a work in this house. God's doing a work right now.
In my heart. Oh, Lord, take me back.
Yes.
To that old landmark.
Oh, I commit myself afresh and anew to you, oh God.
Lord, take
me
back.
I empty myself,
to
oh God.
That old landmark where I'll make a new. Take me back.